Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
What's going on here?
The weekend.
The weekend.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Friday.
For most people, Friday is just a day before the weekend.
I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat.
It is Friday, right?
Better out for dinner on a Friday night.
I'm hosting a party on Friday.
Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday.
What about Friday?
Oh, party hardy, Friday.
What's today?
Friday.
Studios on this Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
People's Movie Critic coming up in an hour and a half with Uncut Gems because it's Friday and that's what we do. I am not sad to see this weekend, although my weekend is going to be a hellscape.
What?
So this past week, I had one kid down with food poisoning, the other kid home from school sick with something else. I had a bunch of projects that I started over the winter break that I was trying to finish, including emptying out an entire closet and then getting rid of stuff, organizing it, and putting it back together.
Mm-hmm.
You know how there's like always a closet in your house where
yes.
people open the door, throw things in, and then close the door really yes. fast?
Oh, I've got two or three in my house.
And you're never 100% sure what all is in that closet because you don't enjoy opening the door and having
right.
things fall on you.
Right.
I went after that closet. I took everything out, and the things that these people have thrown into that closet. I don't even
give me
have,
an example.
I don't have an explanation for why I found some of the things. A single rain boot. They all have 2 feet.
Right.
So I'm not sure where's the other boot, right? I found an orange that had become petrified. It was rock
an actual
hard.
Orange?
An actual orange that had become rock hard like a baseball.
Oh, wow.
What under what circumstances do you walk by a closet, open it up, and chuck an orange in?
Because you're too lazy to go all the way over to where the trash is.
Or
eat it.
Yeah, a half-used roll of paper towels. Again, right. no idea why that was in there.
Right, right.
And then all sorts of random other things. I'm like, I don't even remember owning this. Why is this in this closet? So I took, the only way to do it is to empty it all out and then build it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm on the floor sorting through stuff, and here comes my daughter, and she's like, "Why are you dying?" I'm cleaning out this closet that the people who claim to love me just throw crap in and then close the door and don't care. And she's like, "Oh, well, I know you like that kind of thing. It's fun for you, so I'll let you have it." No, it's not.
It's
fun
not.
For me.
Why do they believe that?
When? Who spread that vicious lie? It is not fun for me. It's not fun at all. So let me tell you why this weekend is a hellscape.
Right.
So that was my week. Like, anytime I would hear, mommy, I knew what I was up for, right? So got through the week. It's Friday. My daughter, my younger daughter, is on the school debate team. And the rule is every parent has to volunteer for at least one tournament as a judge.
Right.
This is my weekend.
Oh, is it really?
I know nothing about judging debate. Nothing.
Yeah, you're so smart, though, and you're so verbal.
They gave me the
Your
rules.
Your vocabulary is incredible. You're not going to have any problems.
They gave me the rules. I'm reading the rules. I've got the rules down. So here's my thinking. Oh, okay, I'm going to judge the debate tournament. What's a couple hours in the afternoon? Arrival time, 7:30 a.m. I said to Kermia, when do you think we might wrap up? And she's like, usually right around 8 or 9 a.m.? No, p.m. Okay, good.
Oh, my God. Okay, 12 hours, 14. 13 hours.
Yeah.
Good God. Do they tell you what the subjects are?
There's all these different kinds of debate. My uh-huh. school didn't have a debate team.
Right.
There's all these different kinds of debate. There's Lincoln Douglas and public forum and Congress and speech.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what the subjects will be, who the students will be.
Do they give you the subjects prior to
No, because you're not there to agree or disagree with these kids. You're there to judge them based on.
No, but I would like to know, you know, kind of the arena that I'm playing in.
I don't know, but I got all the rules and I read through all the rules a couple of times and I've discussed it with.
How many judges?
Karamia, I don't know yet. I don't know, but
it's not you alone.
No, I'm doing, you know, but I'm doing my parental duty. And, you know, luckily, it's not like she's in competition dance where I spend every other weekend on the road somewhere. Right. So this is a novelty for me.
Are you going to be judging when she is debating?
No. You're not allowed to judge your own students. In fact, the tournament's being held at her school, so her team isn't even, they're all working as volunteers. They're not even debating. That's my birthday, by the way. Now, I don't, like, make a big deal. I'm not one of these people who thinks that her birthday should be a month-long celebration complete with fireworks and parades. But I do like on my birthday to, you know, sleep in and maybe have some cake.
It's your birthday.
And that is not how this is going down.
No, it doesn't sound that way.
At all.
Dang.
Yeah.
So all that sickness and then the debate stage for 14 hours.
Yeah. But you know what? As my daughter pointed out, I got to have my fun cleaning out that closet because that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, that's what you... Why do they always think that?
Why do they think that?
I don't know.
Why do they think, oh, what's Bob doing? Oh, he's changing the cat box. Well, let's leave him alone. You know how much he enjoys that.
Oh.
How do we get these reputations?
I wish you hadn't said cat box. You will not believe what happened to me yesterday.
With the cat box?
That thing. I said some bad words.
Even though it's your hobby to change it and you enjoy it so much?
Yeah, even though it's my favorite thing to do. It's my calling, and I'm going to tell you about it next.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The Off-Air Podcast, the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. Download on the free Bob and Sherry app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Bob and Sherry.
Why did you just bring up the words kitty litter a moment
cat
ago?
Cat box.
Cat box.
Because that's what they think. They think when they see us doing
a
heinous chore.
Yeah.
Oh, don't bother Bob.
Yeah.
You know how much he enjoys taking care of Kitty's box.
That's his thing.
That's his thing. Like, that's what my kids think. Like, leave Mom alone. She's having some me time cleaning the closet. Like, that is not my thing.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you what happened to me yesterday. I'm still upset about this. First of all, it's her cat. All right.
It is, but family's cat.
For 10 years, I have been changing the litter box and making sure the cat has water and the cat has food. I don't know why I do it. I couldn't, mainly because I don't think anybody else was going to do as good a job because I'm a very sanitary man. So the litter box is in the garage and she has a little, a small cat door that she goes through. Which, by the way, if I'm downstairs, she passes by me silently, and all of a sudden I'm watching TV and the cat door starts swinging. I think somebody's coming through the back door. You know, it freaks me out. But anyway, I went over to the supermarket and I got some kitty litter, and the one that was on sale, and it's ridiculously expensive for what it is. The one that was on sale, it gave me 3 extra pounds. So it's in a like a suitcase sort of situation, and it has a handle, and it has a giant head of a cat.
I know
that's
the one.
You know the one that's like purring or something.
Well, the cat looks pleased because its box.
It just went. Yeah. and it's always, speaking as a man, it's fantastic to walk out of a supermarket with many people around holding a suitcase with a giant cat's head that says kitty litter, and it's like orange, so you can't miss it. I walk out every time. Honest to God, I do this. I say, Leonardo DiCaprio has never had to do this.
And
nor would he.
And the regulars at the store go, oh, there he is, old clump and seal.
Right. That's exactly right. And in the other hand, I have a Wonder Box. I've talked about the Wonder Box. It's like a cardboard thing for the kitty litter box. And you can dispose of it after a couple of uses. I just like it. It's $2 and I buy them. So I was away for a few days and no one was changing, as it would happen.
They don't.
And I don't even want to describe what that kitty litter Wonder Box looked like. It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting.
No one cleaned it because they know how much you enjoy that. That's your thing. Don't you know?
So Mary is upstairs, right? And she's with Madison, and they're talking about clothes or something like that. And I look over and I go, oh, I got to change this thing. So I've got a big plastic bag I'm going to dump it into and then take the, by the way, the suitcase of kitty litter weighs approximately 500 pounds. It's, you ever see like in a gangster movie where they're carrying a dead body to put it in the trunk? That's what it's like. Yep, I mean, it could separate my shoulder on the way to the car. So I'm getting ready to dump it in. And but first I have to empty out the other one. I don't know what happened, but my foot hit the Wonder Box and kitty litter went flying up in the air and my
face.
Mouth was open.
No. You know what? I can put no good spin on this. I got nothing.
I said words that were worse than what I threw away. And so there was no, Mary could hear me, but she said, you know what? She said nothing. She didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So I slowly went upstairs and the two of them are looking over at me and Mary said, well, what happened? And I told her that I said, I got kitty litter right in my mouth. My mouth was open and I stepped on it. They both started laughing, right? They started laughing at me. So I went, I'm not putting up with this. I came toward her. I said, come here, baby. Kiss me. Come on. Give daddy a kiss. Come on. She went running. I went chasing her around the house. Yeah, honest to God. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever experienced.
I tried to find a silver lining.
Oh, there's no silver lining.
I got nothing here.
I'll tell you what the lining is.
For people with heart disease, asthma, and cancer, the flu can hit hard. If you're not feeling well, take your temperature frequently with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Here's Bob and Sherry.
Every once in a while, I step back and I say, I can't believe how things have changed. Like growing up when I was a kid, you know, if you got a phone call from one of your friends, you'd have to be in your house, right? Because that's where your friend would call you. That's where the phone was and all. And when I was growing up, the only time that you would see like a half hour infomercial on TV would be on one of the TV channels that wasn't a major network.
On Labor Day weekend.
On Labor Day weekend, exactly. So, you know, you'd have a CBS and they've got their programming, ABC, NBC. They own it all day long, all night long. Maybe local news comes in. That's about it. But these days, because television is not watched as much as it used to be watched, you'll find like a major network will have a 30-minute infomercial. And usually it's on the weekends or maybe in the afternoon sometimes. And it's shocking to me. I saw a CBS affiliate the other day with a full-on infomercial for some sort of a cooking device. It was never, I don't know which, I forget the name of it. It was never one that I heard of before. And there's a dude and a woman on there. And it's always the same thing. The dude is hyper excited about this. The woman, she's kind of the backup. And she's being told, she's being mansplained about how the cooking device works. And he's like, Alice, you won't believe this. I've got some raw meat here. What do? I open up this cooking device. I pat the thing together. I put the raw meat in, put it down. And you know what it's doing? She goes, I think it's cooking like it's an outdoor grill. It's cooking like an outdoor grill. And then you
have to be so coked up to be one of those infomercial dude guys.
And then the guy says, you know what I'm going to do to this burger, Alice? No, what are you going to do, Roger? This burger is good, but it could be better if you put inside the burger some mac and cheese. And I stopped and I said to myself, is this where we're at?
This is where we're at.
That a burger itself, I love burgers, but it's cow meat and it's kind of on the greasy side. It's supposed to be that way. Okay. It has rich flavor. Or maybe put a piece of cheese on the top. Do we have to infuse it with mac of all things? It's not like you're putting in broccoli.
And then did he put it on a bun after the mac and cheese?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can touch the bun right on top of the grill. It's amazing. But it's on
a CBS
station because they have to make money and there's not that many people during certain parts of the day that are watching these TV shows.
Early on Saturday or Sunday morning, if you have the luxury of laying on the couch and flipping channels. It is one after another.
Yep.
Stuff for your hair, stuff for your skin, cooking machines, exercise
clothing,
equipment.
Clothing.
It's just one right after another.
I know it. And it's like the Home Shopping Network. Okay, I was always, when that first came out, I was very confused. I was thinking, who in the hell is going to watch this? And a lot of people do, including my wife. But it's like there are 25 home shopping networks on my TV cable system.
One of the ones that always trick me up is like Cindy Crawford has an infomercial. I think it's 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's Cindy and her girlfriends and some skincare products.
Right, right.
And they're drinking wine and eating hummus and talking about their amazing skin.
Mm-hmm.
It has got to be very hard to be in Cindy Crawford's book club.
Yeah.
Because on your very best day.
Yeah.
That's Cindy Crawford.
I know. Exactly. The one that freaks me out is Larry King. They have the old Larry King CNN backdrop.
Oh, and it's fake, so it looks like a real show.
It looks like an old Larry King. I don't know why he has to do this. You know, he works for Russian TV also. He has an interview show on Russian TV of all places. Why would you do that? And why do we allow Russian TV? But anyway, he's got this thing where, so let me ask you about this. You take this pill, what does it do for you? And, you know, they're selling some sort of crap that is supposed to keep your heart going.
I have to admit, when the Ninja first came out, the Ninja Blender, they had one of those infomercial shows. And Kevin and I were out of town. We were with you out of town somewhere. I think we were in like West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And we flipped that on. And I stared at that like slack-jawed. Oh, look, Kev, this blender is so powerful. He just put a handful of nuts and bolts in there and made a smoothie out of them. I want one of those. Well, Kev surprised me and got me a Ninja as a surprise.
They work.
Well, they do, except my kids could break anything.
Right.
You can make a smoothie out of nuts and bolts, but don't you dare throw like too much frozen food, not enough liquid in there. The thing was smoking.
Oh, is that right?
Flames
coming
out of it.
We have one. Hampton uses it every day for some sort of a power shake. And I, every time I clean it, of course, I take part of my fingers off. It's the sharpest thing under the face. We have two Ninjas. We have a broiler Ninja too, and I use it, and it's good. It's a good product.
Have you tried using it to make a mac and cheese stuffed burger?
I'm going to, and I'll tell you exactly how it works, Sherry, because you, of course, would have no idea.
No idea. I didn't know what a burger was until you explained
how
it
could
to
you
me.
Mac and cheese inside of meat. It's just wrong. It's just wrong, isn't it?
It sounds
You don't think so,
right,
Todd?
Though.
It sounds so right.
I mean, you're going to put. Well, here's the thing. You don't eat cheese on your burger.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Sometimes.
But so it's just having cheese on your burger, but they're putting it in the burger.
Yeah, and macaroni too. And macaroni.
So Burgermeister Burger here, though, wants to dictate what everybody else eats. You know that.
Yeah,
he does. See, morons in the news is next.
I do, I admit it.
And then the People's Movie Critic, it's Bob and Sherry.
We've got him.
Morons.
With Bob and Sherry.
He's a moron.
It's Morons in the News.
And we are starting out with a wild lady. She's 20 years old. She is English. And she was arrested the other day on her flight back from the United Arab Emirates after she got too drunk and would not stop asking guys to join her in the Mile High Club on the airplane. She also attacked the flight attendants that told her to sit down, and she was not allowed to do that sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, she went guy to guy to guy, and finally they said, sit down. They were attacked, and she was arrested.
Wow. Today's moron of the day is 51-year-old Paul Nixon out of Houston. He forged the divorce papers, including his wife's signature and a notary signature, without his wife knowing that he had divorced her. And how it all went down was he filed the fraudulent paperwork, and they discovered it after his wife called. He did this last February 5th, and his wife called deputies in the spring after she learned that her judge, a judge in the county, had finalized her divorce. But she had no idea that she was divorced. So imagine her surprise at getting the paperwork in the mail.
You know, she's better off. Why be married to a man who is so stupid that he thinks that this idea would fly?
Mr. Nixon filed for divorce the day after Valentine's Day last year. A judge in Texas signed the order granting the divorce in April. And then it took about another month for the wife to realize that they were divorced. So they killed all of that and reinstated the couple's marriage. But now Paul Dixon is facing about a decade in prison if he's convicted for fraud.
For fraud, I was going to say.
And he's on the lam. He's wanted for arrest.
Yeah.
And he is today's moron of the day. Text the word moron to 888-262-7437. We'll send it to your phone.
A guy on Reddit just posted a story about how he handled a situation when he found out a woman had been dating him just for free meals. After a few dates, one of their mutual friends sent this guy a screenshot of some of the texts from the woman where she said she was just using this guy for free food, expensive food. And he said she was not in bad financial straits because she would wear pricey clothes. She had two Chanel bags. So here's what he did. He took her to an expensive restaurant. They both ate and they drank a lot. And then he said, I've got to go to the men's room. But he left. Oh, by the way, he was her ride also. He said he started getting, quote, furious texts in the next 45 minutes saying she had to call her mom to come to the restaurant to pay the bill and to take her home. After his story started going viral, he said, quote, obviously what I did was not morally good and I should have been more direct with her. But this wasn't about doing the right thing or about learning anything.
This was about getting
this
even.
This was getting even or revenge.
All right, here's a really fun story, and I believe Todd will be able to get the video for you. A couple in British Columbia got a Ring video doorbell a couple of months ago because they knew they were going to be getting packages for the holidays, and there had been a lot of package pirates, porch pirates in their neighborhood, so they installed the Ring video doorbell. And then they got, one night, so many overnight alerts that it was like, what? Who is delivering this many Amazon boxes in the middle of the night?
Wow.
They checked the footage the next day, and it turns out there was a cow on their front porch. And standing behind the cow was its friend, another cow. And the cows are looking directly into the camera like, what? So
I would give anything to see that video.
It turns out, and it was a little bit foggy that night. James Bailey, the homeowner, said it was so eerie. It was like creatures coming out of the mist.
Yeah.
And they're cows, and they're just standing there like why
sci-fi.
Is no one letting us in?
Like sci-fi.
It turns out the cows had escaped from a neighbor's enclosure. A bear knocked down part of the fence, and all the cows just flowed out.
And they just were attracted to the house.
Police came, rounded up the cows, brought them back home.
And everything ended okay.
But that one cow went right up the steps onto the porch and was at the front door.
I just love that.
That is Morons in the News coming up on the show in about 35 minutes, 40 minutes right here is the People's Movie Critic. And today he is reviewing Uncut Gems starring Adam Sandler. And believe it, it's not a dream. There's Oscar buzz for Adam Sandler. People's Movie Critic coming up. Hey, it's Sherry from The Bob and Sherry Show. First, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you. You're the reason that we do it and the reason that we're able to keep doing it. And I just want to mention that if you hear political advertising of any kind, any campaign, any race, any party, adjacent to any Bob and Sherry Show podcast, please know that we did not approve that advertising. We did not accept that advertising. We are not compensated for it. In fact, we have asked every streaming platform there is to exclude our programs from all political messaging. Why? Because political messaging makes people furious, and we're trying really hard to have the Bob and Sherry Show be a politics-free island. So please know, if you hear it, you're hearing it at our protest. We don't want it there. We're trying to have it removed. Thank you so much for your patience. Let's get back to the show.
For people over 65, the flu can bring serious complications. Fever can mean the flu. So watch for symptoms with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It's quick and easy to use. Here's Bob and Sherry.
So I found this article online, everyday scams that we're all paying for like idiots. I'm just going to run right through them. Number one, men's and women's marketing BS. It's shampoo.
Do you remember?
It's soap.
Do you remember when Bic made Bic for her, and it was just a pink pen?
Yes, I do.
That wasn't all that long ago.
And it's terrible. I don't know if this still exists, but razors for women were always way more than razors
for
men.
It's still true.
Is it still true?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Are they sharper?
No, they just, they're pink and purple and mint green, and they just charge us more.
Don't discuss your paycheck with other employees. Now, that's been floating around forever, but you know what? If you're wondering whether or not they're paying you your value, you want to get a couple of employees to do the similar sort of thing and say, what you making? What do you think?
I think that you have a right to know, but I think that that causes so much grief for the people who discover that they are. Like, I know a woman who discovered by mistake that she was getting paid about just under half of what her male counterpart was getting
paid. Whoa. What did she do about it?
She went to management and they said, yeah, well, sorry. Yeah, it's be like that sometimes.
I mean, you could sue for that.
Well, they had, but they had cover. They were like,
they had a way
you
to get around it. You haven't been here long enough, blah, blah, blah.
You didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
We didn't give it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of a thing.
Superfoods. Do you think there really is something to superfoods? The more I'm reading about it and hearing things you're telling me, you have to eat like a large truckload of whatever the nuts are to get the benefits.
I think there are foods that are super duper healthy.
Yeah.
But eating, like washing down a double pepperoni pizza with a fistful of kale is not going to help you.
I know. That's right. Bottled water. It's water.
Yeah. Where's your Lark bottle today?
I forgot it today. Yeah. I was charging it last night and I forgot it. But it's. I haven't given up on it. It's
I hope great. Not.
And that's what everybody in the room is thinking.
I hope not. It's
that
only,
was a one-off.
You thought that.
Well, you're going to be seeing the Lark in here
Nobody
next time I come
said
in here.
That.
Well,
there's.
You know, I love when he saves us the effort and just chews himself
but
out.
I have to ask the question: did you actually forget the bottle, or did you forget to charge?
No, I was charging it, but I was charging it in a place in the morning that I don't go by, which was stupid. I should charge it and then put it in my bag.
Charge it where you put your keys.
Yeah, exactly. Another ripoff, listing prices as whatever the price is, $0.99. If it's $12.99, it's $13, right?
It still works.
And that's been going on forever. So I guess it does work,
it
right?
Works, you see it works on me, yeah.
You see it with gas prices. You see it everywhere.
I am the biggest sucker.
You and I travel a fair amount. Having to pay for parking at a hotel you're paying to stay at.
That is a Philly thing.
That is it's across the country.
Oh, my God. I hate that when I go to Philly and they're like, and it'll be
$35
a day to park. Really?
I know it.
Seriously?
I got a great deal on Hotwire. I was in this big city and I was going. And it was like $30 a day.
To park,
right.
Yeah.
And then with certain places and certain nice areas, there's the resort fee. So I forget what I was doing. I was not there to be at the resort, but it was a hotel that was near a beach, right? I forget what I was doing for business. And I said, let's see, what do I owe you here? Well, it's $129 a night, $35 for parking, and $45 per day for the resort fee. I said, what's the resort fee? Well, that's, we have a part of the beach over there, and we have a cart that can take you there. Well, I said, I'm not going to the beach. I'm sorry. You still have to pay for the resort fee.
This will happen to me in a month when I take Karamia to a dance convention. It's held at a place where there's a resort fee. And I said to the woman at the front desk, I'm here for a dance convention.
Right.
The word resort is like an offense.
Yeah.
There's no resorting.
Right, right.
I may resort to drinking, but I won't be resorting in your resort.
And she said, like, got to pay.
Yeah, you got to pay.
Got to pay. Another chip bags. Bags of potato chips. It's mostly air.
But it has to be.
Why does it have to be?
They puff the bags up because it protects the chips from getting broken.
I don't believe that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just don't believe it. Tattoos don't hurt.
Yeah, they do.
I've never had one.
Yeah, they do.
They hurt
a lot?
Depends
on where they are. Yeah.
They hurt a lot?
I mean, depends.
Paying $5 plus for a draft beer.
I don't drink it, so I don't know. Is that what it costs?
In some places. See, the same product could cost more depending on where the bar is. Let's see. Online processing fees.
That always feels like just a straight up scam.
Yeah, I agree. It's just an add-on, right?
That's what it feels like.
But we're not getting rid of any of it, so there they are for us.
If you're about to buy your first house, wait till you get a load of the list of fees that they'll tell you about. Document fee, loan origination fee.
Yeah.
And you want to stop them, and I did. And a loan origination fee, are you not making enough money off of this loan? Because I saw that Truth in Lending statement. Why are you charging me an origination fee?
I totally agree.
Get the free Bob and Sherry app and instantly get the podcast, the Oddcast, and Bob and Sherry Fun Size.
You know, sometimes you come upon a real true life love story that moves your heart and makes you rethink how you feel about other human beings. And I've got one of those here out of Kentucky.
Oh, bring it on.
Yeah, a guy named Raymond Pace, so his girlfriend was in jail. And he missed her, and he wanted to show his support. So he called the cops, and he reported his laptop stolen. And when the cops came to take the burglary report, Mr. Pace was real drunk and demanding to be jailed for multiple months to support his girlfriend, who was serving 5 months in jail. And he said, I need to be in jail with her so she won't be so stressed out. And the cop said,
it's not a B&B.
It doesn't work that way. So in an attempt to be arrested, Mr. Pace then shoved the officer.
Oh, boy.
And the officer still was like, because he was intoxicated.
Right.
He was like, I'm sorry, man. I can't take you to jail.
Right.
And that's when Raymond Pace whipped out a large bundle of drug paraphernalia.
Oh, Raymond.
And then they charged him with offenses, including possession of meth, heroin, and the drug paraphernalia. Mm. And they took him to jail.
I see why the girlfriend's in jail.
Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he knew that it's not college. You don't get to pick a roommate.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
They're probably not even in the same, like, wing.
That's what drugs will do for
jail.
You. Or stupidity.
But in another way, there's, like, something really romantic about this.
Romantic or really kind of pathetic. You see, baby, this is what I did this for you, man. I went to jail for you. I went to jail so you wouldn't be far away from me, and I'd be there for you. Love me for the rest of my life, no matter what a loser I am. I went to jail for you.
I was married to a guy that wouldn't do anything, much less go to jail for me for 5 months.
Right.
So I think this is kind of romantic. Now, because she's very stressed out because she's locked up, which, you know, I would be too.
That's why he
wanted to be there.
This is like the Private Benjamin going to jail thing. It's like, hello, I'm here at the jail, and I'd like to have, you know, the same room with my girlfriend. I'm going to be with Big Tiny. That's not the jail I signed up for.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if these two have one of those, like, really wild, tempestuous romances where they can't live with each other and they can't live without each other.
Sure, they're on a half a dozen drugs. So I'm going to say yes to at least part of that.
But can we not find some thread of human goodness in this where his woman was behind bars and scared and stressed out and he was determined to join her there? Can we not see any goodness in that?
Nope, I don't think so.
Max, can you see any fragment of goodness in that person? I mean, he's a hot mess.
Sometimes stupidity has to be called for what it is. If you thought that you were going to go down there because you were arrested for whatever and you're going to sleep with your girlfriend in the jail for 5 months,
I don't think you've ever watched TV. Cops.
Or your brain is so messed up on meth.
What's the expression? It's a French expression. And it means two people who were fine on their own, but then they meet and they fall in love and they're crazy together. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I think we're dealing with here. I think we're dealing with a beautiful, crazy, whacked love story in Lancaster, Kentucky.
Okay, I'll give it to you. I think we're just dealing with some people that are out of their mind on drugs.
Portamento?
It's something, something foo, some kind of crazy love. I mean, this sounds like the subplot of a Nicolas Cage movie, though.
It does.
Folie à deux. Yeah,
Folie à deux. Folie à deux. And these are people that they were
fine on their own, but
and
then
they became,
got together
and became crazy.
Launched into crazy.
Bonnie
and
Clyde.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bonnie and Clyde thing.
They were crazy.
They were real bad, though. People's Movie Critic is coming up next with Uncut Gems.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHARE.
And the People's Movie Critic joins us right now to review Adam Sandler's new movie, which is a drama, a thriller, getting Oscar buzz, Uncut Gems. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, y'all know that Adam Sandler and I have this long history of dislike. You know, I don't like him, and he has no idea who I am. So it works out okay. Now,
right.
The only thing that he has ever done that I absolutely love is the Hanukkah song. I love that. I think it's comedic genius. I think it's an awesome piece of work. I also liked him in Waterboy. Okay. Now, I do get, though, that he is a talented guy and millions of people absolutely love him. Just not me. I just don't care for him. I don't care for his movies. Now, this movie has two major things going on. Number one, this may be Adam Sandler's finest acting job he has ever done. And I do think he should probably get some kind of nomination for some kind of award for what he did. And B, this was the second worst experience in a movie that I've sat through in my entire life.
So tell me why, because yeah. I saw Uncut Gems, and I agree with you about Adam Sandler, and I loved, loved, loved Kevin Garnett. What made this the worst experience you've ever had in a movie?
For me, this is a dark, depressing, and extremely annoying 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I forfeited that amount of my life that I'm never going to get back. Sandler plays Howard Ratner. He's a nonstop talking, wheeling, dealing, unfaithful, degenerate gambler that owes more people more money than he can possibly pay. He's got this continuous line of BS that never stops while he's juggling other people's money and jewelry to make these huge bets that he hopes to win. And over he does this until he finally is going to get this big score that will pay him out of debt. And he's being chased by different groups of men that are willing to hurt him to get their money. He's got a family that he cares absolutely nothing about. He's got the mistress that he's divorcing his wife for, and he can't really be sure he can trust her because he's so jealous about her. And he doesn't have not one person in his life that he hasn't screwed over. And I don't know about you, but when I watch a movie, I have to have one person on the screen that I can care about and I want the best for. This is my touchstone, okay? No matter how horrible the rest of the people are in the movie, no matter what's going on, I have to have that one person that's actually got some quality that I like and that I can identify with. 12 minutes into this movie, I knew there's no touchstone anywhere to be found in this movie.
Oh, come on, the basketball player that he was trying to rip off for the gemstone. You didn't root for him?
Well, no, I didn't root for him because by the time he shows up, I'm really, you know, and he was in it for his own deal. I guess he was the only innocent person in the whole thing. That's probably true. I really had to say he probably wasn't, but I didn't care about him. I just didn't. And the story runs at such a frantic pace. It is so exhausting. I mean, you emotionally are just drained. You feel like you've run a marathon. But for the actual movie, for me, time stood still. I just felt like I'd been there for days watching this jerk destroy his life along with anybody that had the misfortune of knowing the guy. Now, that being said, he played the part absolutely perfectly. Now, the movie's 135 minutes, but it feels like days, and it's rated R, and it has the 7th most F-words in film history, which seems appropriate, as it is the perfect word to describe my entire experience in this movie, okay?
Lamar, I agree with you about how the pace was breakneck. Don't go to the bathroom during this movie. Like, you can't even blink. Don't close your eyes. Don't sneeze during this one. But I agree with you. It did feel very long, and I was exhausted at the end of it for all the reasons that you described.
I think you've described this for everybody perfectly. I think we've all seen movies where, yes, this actress or this actor has done a magnificent job, but I'm so depressed walking out.
But I want to say something about Adam Sandler's performance. Tell me if you agree with this, Lamar. That character, as you described, has no redeeming qualities. He's a bad husband. He's an indifferent father. He's a liar, a cheat, and a crook. He betrays everyone and anyone in the service of himself. He's a complete, you're right, a complete degenerate gambling addict. Adam Sandler played that for zero sympathy. And he's an actor who wants the audience to come along and like him. He wants you to like him. Yeah, in every part he plays, there's a little bit of a wink to the audience like, yeah, I'm kind of playing a goofball, but you know you love me. He didn't bring any of
no.
that. He played
no.
it.
He went completely against
him.
Anything. He, yeah. This is what I'm this. He has an acting ability that I never gave him credit for. I honestly, this
no
this was
did.
Unbelievable acting. Now, and like you're saying, my experience is not going to be everybody's experience. If you like a movie that's more of a film noir, a dark plot, and you don't mind the overall feeling of depression, you might enjoy this movie. And if you're a fan of Adam Sandler and you want to watch him play a very serious, non-comedic role while wearing false teeth, by all means, you need to go see that, okay? And if your life is a shambles, you have no will to live, and you're trying to come up with one thing in this world that's worse than what you're facing on a daily basis, hey, give this a shot, okay?
That's selling it.
But for me, this is all I can say. Oy vey, I can't wait to schlep my Goyas took us out of this misogynist. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
How many buds, Lamar? How many buds?
My score on this is one matzo ball. One matzo ball.
All right.
I want you to go visit your relatives in Bama and pull that and roll video because I want to see their reaction.
Sit tight. We've got more with the People's Movie Critics straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHERRY.
All right, we're back with the People's Movie Critic who really admired Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems, really hated the movie.
Yes, without a doubt.
And your wife hated it too.
Yes. But now, there was two other people watching it, and we asked them on the way out, and one of them goes, it's okay. And the other guy goes, this was horrible. So
it's
the movie itself, but his performance is unbelievable.
There are some movies that are just made for people who are film aficionados. You know what I mean? They don't go to feel good. They don't go to feel bad. It's just they study the film. This may be one of those things.
And it's one of them. Yeah,
but I agree with you that I have trouble going to a movie or watching a television series where there's no one to pull for. And I've mentioned this before, the TV show Succession. I've been trying to get into that, but every single character from the patriarch to the sons to the daughters, they're all horrible people. And you're just left bummed out at the end of the episode.
I watched the Sons of Anarchy all the way through to the last season, and because they killed my touchstone, it just got so dark. I didn't finish the last season.
Yeah, we're all
looking
for a hero,
right? I invested
all
that time. I couldn't do it. It was just like, what happened here?
So what else? I
can't.
What else is going on with you?
Well, while I was traveling over the holidays, I'm traveling down to Alabama by myself. And Carla's already down there, and I'm having to switch cars or whatever. So I'm in our car, and I'm driving down the road, and the little light comes on, and it says your battery is low in your key fob. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to get that fixed. And it kept telling me that. So I get about 45 minutes from the destination, and there's a Walmart. So I whip into Walmart, and I'm going to go in here and get the thing. So I open up the key to get the battery to see what kind of battery it is. And it's got the one key that comes out that will open your door. You know what I'm talking about? It's got the metal key.
If your fob dies. Yeah.
And so I'd never used that metal key. So I pulled it out and I thought, well, you know what? Let me see how this works. And so I get out of the car and I close the door and I put the key in and I turn it and it locks the door. I said, well, that works. Well, I turn it back to unlock it and it wouldn't unlock the car.
Oh, no.
And at that point, I realized I'm outside experimenting with this, and I can see the key, the battery, my cell phone, my money, everything is locked in that car, and I can't get in this car.
Oh, no. What did you do?
So I do this for about 10 minutes, and I can't, I'm not doing any good. So I go inside, and I go up to this kid, and I say, I need to see the manager. He goes, well, okay, anything I help you with? I said, well, I need to borrow his cell phone. I got to make a phone call. And he said, well, you can use my cell phone. So I use his cell phone. I call my wife and I said, look, I'm stuck here. There's nothing I can do. You can't get to me. I can't get to you. I'm going to call AAA. So I call AAA.
This is the best excuse ever for not going to the in-laws, by the way.
So I go out, I call AAA and I go back outside. And I have to keep coming back in, seeing this kid to see if AAA is calling me back, you know, this kind of thing. So I go out there and while I'm waiting on AAA, I get the key out and I think, okay, let me try it again. So I try it three or four more times and I lift up on it and that doesn't work. But when I push down on it and I turned it, it unlocked the car. I said, man, this is great. This is great. So I reach in there and I grab the stuff and I go to put the key thing back together and it triggers the alarm. So now the car alarm is going off in the middle of the parking lot. And all of these people, I'm trying to get it to shut off. It won't shut off. I can't get everything back apart. So finally, I walk back into the place, and the car's just going, wah, 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 wah.
Oh.
So I go back into place, and I say, can I use your phone again? So I call AAA. I call them off, tell them, do not come. I go ahead, buy the battery, and I put everything back together, and I finally get out there, and I get the alarm to cut off. It was the most unbelievable 45 minutes. It was terrible.
I hate to tell you, but you're that guy we see at the Walmart?
Yes!
You're the guy!
I never thought you were that guy.
I know, and thank you, Lamar. What a nightmare that must have been.
You might be ready for cold and flu season, but are your kids? Infants and young children have a good chance of getting the flu. Check for fevers with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Here's Bob and Sherry.
If you have our app, which is free in Google Play and the Apple App Store, I apologize for people that have had some problems. It's been a little bit wonky. So we contacted the developer and we were like, the app is misbehaving. And the developer said, we're going to push out an update. They pushed something out, but it wasn't an update. And we've continued to have some problems with whatever it was they pushed out. But I want to thank all of you who have persevered in sending us talkback messages. It's so easy to do.
Please try. Please try.
Little microphone, bottom of the screen. You tap it and talk. And when you're done talking, your voice flies through the air and lands on the show. Here we go.
Yeah. Tell us something interesting that's going on in your life or comment on something that you heard on the show. Probably something that I was pointing out.
Here we go.
Hello, Bob and Sherry. I just wanted to tell you that you guys are amazing. I'm only 13 years old, and I am absolutely enthralled with you guys. So I just wanted to tell you that, Bob, you are completely insane, and Sherry is the only sane one. And I would also like to tell you guys that Morin's in the News is my favorite part of your show. And I really don't sound like this. I just have a crappy microphone. I actually have a gorgeous voice that I got into a bunch of different special choirs with. And I want to tell you that I get up every morning in time to see you, to listen to Morin's in the News. I don't see you guys. I'm not that creepy. Well, bye.
Bye.
Was there a little British
A little some lilt sort of an accent, yeah. To, I was trying I to place
she,
it.
I wonder where she was from.
I was trying to place it.
That is a voice that could be a character actress on TV in a sitcom.
I wish we could find her because she's a singer. She travels around to these choirs. Yeah, I would love to hear her sing.
Wow, that's great.
Maybe she'll, if she's here, I'm hoping she's hearing this. Maybe she'll call us back.
I'm completely out of my mind.
I think she meant that in a fun way, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like I'm the wild guy at a party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is me. Yeah, that is, I'm the crazy guy.
She did say you were completely
out of my mind.
Completely insane.
Completely insane.
There's no room for it. Kind of insane. No. A little insane.
Completely insane.
A little wild.
You know, you can say, the party guy that gets in the middle of the floor and takes his coat and whips it around like a helicopter, you can say, hey, that guy's completely insane. That's not me. So that gives my insanity is another sort of flavor.
Well, but that doesn't mean it's a bad flavor.
No, but it's working in that direction. I'll tell you what.
I think sanity's overrated, Bob.
I do too.
I do. I think it's way overrated.
You know what? It's boring.
We've known some people that were very, very sane.
Very, very vanilla.
And they're very even keel, and they make all good choices, but they're not super fun.
They're not fun to be with.
Uh-uh.
Right.
Whereas you're fun. Anything could happen.
Really? Really just anything? I'm that guy? I'm not that guy.
You're not the, you don't instigate the anything could happen. But as you go through life, anything could happen.
I think if you take a, I'm going to, let me see, I'll pick one person that you may know. So he's very, very calm. He's totally sane. He's totally
absolutely
nice. He's totally successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally boring.
Yeah.
Would you, on a car ride, you want to be with him? You want to be with me?
No, I want to be with you.
Right.
Here's why I think anything can happen and does to you. And it's a compliment to you. I think you come at everything with so much sincerity that you get yourself into predicaments. So the classic example for me of your sincerity and getting yourself into a predicament, Bob's on vacation. He gets up early in the morning, gets a Starbucks. He goes for a walk in the beautiful town of Boothbay Harbor, Maine. A person who is clearly not well begins yelling at Bob about Hezbollah. And Bob, because of his sincerity, doesn't look over there and go, wow, this person is really struggling. Bob engages this woman and defends his inaction on Hezbollah. And that is because of your sincerity. That is why you have a hard time with being asked what your plans for the weekend are.
Let me address the Hezbollah, because that was only certain listeners would know that. It was 7:30 in the morning, a beautiful, beautiful morning. I'm on vacation. I've got the coffee. I'm walking, looking at these beautiful little shops in Boothbay Harbor. And she just comes out of the fog, because it's very foggy. And she goes, what are you doing about Hezbollah? Now, I hate Hezbollah, okay? I am anti-Hezbollah, death to Hezbollah, blah, blah, blah. But in a charming New England town where the only thing I can think of, because I've waited all year to get a lobster roll in this town. Yeah. I've waited all year. My fighting Hezbollah possibilities are extremely limited. And she's so ticked off at me that I will not give her my anti-Hezbollah plan. And she just totally, my day.
A regular person would have.
Just kept moving.
Boy, that woman is really having a struggle. Yeah. But you, because of your sincerity.
I just said, there's nothing I can do, ma'am, right now about Hezbollah.
You engage these people. Do you understand what I'm saying?
What should I have done?
You should have offered up a little silent prayer that she would get some help. And then gone about your business.
She's following me through the streets of Boothbay Harbor. Oh, and by the way, she's saying, she's from New York, by the way. And how do I know that? She's saying, you know, once you eat a lobster, you get the cool air here. What do you do? I wish I was back in Brooklyn. And I'm saying to myself, so do I.
So Bob tells her that he has no plan to fight Hezbollah.
That ticked her off even more.
He's waited all year to go on vacation, and now she's really off to the races. Who are you to not have a plan?
I know. 7 days I get, right? Because this was years ago. 7 days waiting for it all year long.
I got to do that. It is your sincerity that makes you Mr. Anything Can Happen, not you putting a lampshade on your head.
And yet, in so many other areas, I'm so insincere. You know, it's just.
It's a dichotomy. That's the problem with trans face syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHERRY.
And what the People's Movie Critic had to say about Uncut Gems is not to be missed. Not only will we send that review to your phone, but when you text MOVIE to 888-262-7437, you're automatically entered to win a Fandango gift card so you can go see that movie for free.
There you go. Okay, I have this news story about a famous NBA player. His name is Andre Iguodala. And he has won 3 NBA titles with the Golden State Warriors, fantastic team. And he is now making $17.1 million a season. But he wants to share a piece of wisdom, and here's what it is. Money is not what it's cracked up to be. He tweeted, quote, life would be simpler in a one-bedroom apartment with a Prius and some golf clubs. Money is overrated. $17.1 million a year.
Well, don't we have that study that showed that after $86,000, you are not one iota happier?
Yes, but I just have to say, if I'm given $17.1 million a year for doing something, and let's say that I'm putting in the bank, after I have my expenses and taxes, $5 or $6 million, you can't tell me that I wouldn't be calmer.
You would have fewer.
I think I would feel differently.
You would have fewer worries about your future.
Yes. And so would people around me, because I would be very generous. I think it would be fantastic.
I think it would be fantastic, too. I would love to have $5 million in the bank.
I think it would be better than having that one-bedroom apartment with a Prius. And I love Priuses, but
but you can imagine how that much money complicates your life, because now this guy probably has an agent, a manager.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. People with their hand out all the time.
But he doesn't have to buy a 10,000 square foot house that's worth $20 million. He also doesn't have to stay in the one bedroom. There is something in between. Look at Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska, in the same house he had for, you know, since the 70s. And there's a way to not be crazy and be happy with all of that. Am I not right?
Because we don't have $5 million in the bank, of course, we both agree that
But that's $5 million every year in the bank, by the way.
That would be, I'll take just $5 million right now, and then you have to give me any more. I'll be really cautious and careful with it. Of course we think that, because you and I are worriers.
How would you change your life?
Well, I wouldn't have a mortgage, for starters.
Right.
And I would not be driving the Starship Dancer size.
No, what would you be driving?
Something that smelled better. And I would hire someone to clean my house, because I do that. And all I do is work, drive, and clean.
There are some women who would say that. I would get a new husband, something that smells better.
That would be the biggest change in my life, would be I'm not worried about the mortgage.
Right.
I'm not worried about the car.
I think that's what
someone
that
else cleans my house.
I think that's what it would do. It would just free you time wise, wouldn't it?
That's what I would like to do with it.
It would buy you time.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I see these guys, I say to myself, you know, it's easy to talk like this because you have the money. But if, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you go into a time machine and you don't have the money, I don't know they're going to be saying the same words.
Maybe he's really talking about 17
satisfaction.
Million.
He's talking about, I guess, satisfaction. He's not that much more satisfied.
Well, because that study shows that after $86,000,
yeah,
you don't get happier. You get more comfortable, but you don't get happier.
Yeah, you don't.
And you can be very miserable in incredible luxury comfort.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You see it all the time. Very wealthy people who are miserable. It's just... everyone feels that they are different.
Oh,
they would handle it differently.
And we
I do.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
I cannot believe this.
You know how drummers are often like the butt of jokes, like the punchline?
What do you call a guy who hangs out with musicians? A drummer.
A drummer. Okay, like drummers don't necessarily get a lot of respect in the music world. But
well, I mean, in some cases they do. It's just everybody thinks they can play the drums, and to really play them well, that is not the case.
I'm going to tell you something I've learned about drummers that's going to blow your mind. Drummers have different brains than other human beings.
I believe that.
Drumming changes the brain. And it's a really interesting and very specific brain change. So your brain has two hemispheres, mm-hmm. the right brain and the left brain. And there is this thing called the corpus callosum that connects them together,
mm-hmm.
right? Drummers have fewer connections, but the ones they have are way thicker. And that's enabling drummers to access both sides of their brain more rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why drummers can play two different rhythms
mm-hmm.
with their hand. They can play one rhythm with their right hand, one rhythm with their left hand.
And
they can
another
do something
with their
feet.
With 2 feet.
That is so difficult for the average person to do.
Yeah.
But drummers can do it. And being a drummer, the act of drumming actually changes the physical structure of your brain.
Wow. And in the case of The Who, your ears too, probably. I've always felt, because I've known a lot of musicians, and I was in a band, I've always felt that drummers were born. You were drawn to that one instrument above all other instruments, and you just could not say no to the drums. I mean, there's a lot of choices that you could have had. You could have said, I'm going to be a guitarist, I'm going to be a pianist, I'm going to do violin or whatever, but there is something about the drums that I think certain people are drawn to. And when you watch a guy who, or a woman, who is a fantastic drummer. Like, there's some old tape out of a guy named Buddy Rich. He was a big band drummer. He had his own band. That's how great a drummer he was. To watch him play with such speed and perfection is awe-inspiring. Even if you don't like big band music, I didn't know anything about the guy, but I pulled him up on YouTube once, and I found out he was not a really nice person. He was a miserable SOB, as a matter of fact. He was always fighting with people. But it was just amazing, that one gift that he had.
Well, this is a pretty strong statement. This is from the team of neuroscientists and biophysiologists who study drummers. Are you ready? Drummers can do things that are impossible for untrained people.
Is this Buddy Rich?
Drummers can do things you can't and won't ever be able to do.
Right. I believe that, totally. You know what the hardest thing, I think, for me to wrap my mind around playing the drums, that you're doing all of what we're hearing here, but with the foot, the bass drum is also being pumped. You know?
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
And if you're Don Henley, you're singing.
And you're singing.
Right? At the same time.
Right.
So the drummers' brains are so different that by the time you like become a drummer and you've practiced and played for all those years, your brain is more efficiently organized than other people's brains.
Is that right?
It can do less. I mean, it can do more with less effort than regular brains.
Yeah.
It turns out drummers are like superpowers.
Yeah.
And they've never...
Isn't that great?
Nobody's ever known that about drummers before. No one had ever studied drummers and looked at their brains.
You want to see something that's really cool? I don't think you've ever seen this. You can pull it up on YouTube right now or when you go home. You know Woodstock, the original Woodstock, right? So Santana played Woodstock. And most people were kind of aware of Santana, but they hadn't broken that big. Carlos has not broken that big. And so he had a drummer who was 19 years old and playing in front of 500,000 people. And the movie makers that did the film Woodstock, which is really a fun movie to see, they put two cameras on the drummer. He's 19 years old. And he solos. And it is breathtaking to watch this kid do that.
Well, especially now that you know what you know.
Here, listen to this. 19 years old. Here the hi-hat is going with one foot. The bass is going with the other.
His brain is completely different from yours or mine.
Yeah.
Wasn't our old boss Tom a drummer? Yeah. Tom Jackson.
By the way, Max, you're pulling those things up out of the blue that fast. That takes a special brain.
I think your brain is different, too.
Yeah, I think it is,
too. Yeah, our old boss Tom was a drummer.
Yeah, he was a good one. I saw him play once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a drummer or you have a kid who's a drummer,
put your head up high.
This is something to think about.
Yeah.
There's no one else that has a brain like a drummer.
I think one of the sexiest things that I can see is a female drummer.
Which one of the Go-Go's was a drummer?
I can't remember. Belinda is really the only one I know. It's always that way with the lead singer, isn't it?
Well, and because she's blonde and makes silly faces.
And she's beautiful.
That's all you can remember. Yeah, I'm going to post all this on Facebook so you can see it for yourself. I think this is one of the Gina Shock, thank you. I think this is one of the coolest things I've come across in a while.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I have a friend who's a drummer. I have to tell him this.
And what's cool about it is it's not just, the electrical activity is different.
Right.
Their physical brain, like if we took their brain out of their head and put it on a table next to yours, their physical brain is different.
Isn't that wild? Will you send that to me, too?
I will.
I'd like to see that.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Listen, the new Bob and Sherry, 24/7 at bobandsherry.com.
This is from U.S. News and World Report. These are work things that you need to know how to do by the age of 30. If you're over 30 and you're not sure how to handle these situations, you're going to find yourself in a tricky situation now and then. Know how to run a meeting. This means not letting it run too long, not letting it go on with too many tangents. Have an agenda, be clear about goals, and redirect conversations to stay on topic. That's a tough thing to do. Especially if there are older people. Let's say you're 28 and somebody has said, you're going to run the sales meeting or whatever. You're a salesperson. And there are guys there, women there that are, 50 years old. That's a tough thing to do, to keep it going, make sure it's not too long, make sure somebody doesn't go off on a tangent talking about God knows what.
Well, it's only tough to do if the other people in the room are determined to help you fail. Think about it.
No, you can be somebody that just takes his hand off the wheel and it's just somebody is going on and on and on. And all of a sudden, you've wasted people's time.
I've been in so many meetings and I don't know if it's just our business that felt more like the person leading it was having therapy than we were having, right, Todd?
I think everybody's been in one of those, yeah. Also, I think there are some people that just love to hear themselves talk. They'll come up with a point that really doesn't need to be addressed at that moment, but they want to hear themselves talk and let everybody know how brilliant they are. Yeah. Don't let them go too long. Things that you need to know by 30 with business. How to have a tough conversation. Like somebody screws up or needs some direction. It's possible to be blunt and nice at the same time, but it takes practice. Because if you go in there, this is why I'd be a terrible boss, because I don't like confrontation. So somebody has done something that is really not very good for the broadcast house. And I'm the one that has to go in there and tell them what they did wrong. It's so icky to me. But if you go in with this sort of softball approach, they're not going to get the message. It's not effective.
But you have two modes. One mode is too soft, and the other is Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, it's true. And that's exactly right.
It's that middle ground that we really struggle with.
And that's why I'd be a terrible boss. You're exactly right.
But you know that. Yeah. You know that.
It's just, you know, I want to throw a softball pitch because I want people to feel badly. But then if you take advantage of me or take advantage of my company, you know.
That's a shoot in the face.
Yeah, that's right.
Seriously, you think we're joking? This is Bob.
It is true.
Hey, you haven't been doing your job for a couple of years now, and I get it. You're busy. I'm going to do it for you. Or, that's a shoot in the face. That's it.
Those are the two modes. These are work things you need to know by the age of 30. How to stand up for yourself, but do it professionally, meaning you're assertive without being too defensive. The earlier you learn how to do this, the better. Otherwise, you can be taken advantage of. Women have been taken advantage of because of this situation since the dawn of time. And I think those days are slowly over.
I can't do this with dogs.
Much less with people.
Stand up for yourself, but do it professionally. It's true. And you know, I think the easiest thing to do is to say to yourself, what is the honest truth that I'm dealing with here? What's honesty? I'm going to take honesty and present it to the person that I'm having a hard time with. As long as you do that, you can't be touched.
But that's why it sounds so simple, but it's very difficult.
It is. It's more difficult, but it is important to learn early, or you're going to spend a lot of time and throw away a lot of time. And finally, how to become a person who bounces back from a mistake. We're all going to make mistakes. So don't beat yourself up that you've made a mistake at work. I mean, if you burned down the warehouse because you flicked a cigarette in there, go ahead and beat yourself up. But, you know, we all make mistakes. You know, you didn't remember the client's name or whatever. You can't take that to the grave. You have to let it go.
I just think it's so good that you recognize. And you would be unhappy as a boss. It's so much. Like, there's no escape from
it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would hate it.
But Bob would have employees that would be like, listen, don't worry. If you screw up, he bought me a bike.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's all good. Hey, it's Sherry from the Bob and Sherry Show. First, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We really appreciate you. You're the reason that we do it and the reason that we're able to keep doing it. And I just want to mention that if you hear political advertising of any kind, any campaign, any race, any party, adjacent to any Bob and Sherry Show podcast, please know that we did not approve that advertising. We did not accept that advertising. We are not compensated for it. In fact, we have asked every streaming platform there is to exclude our programs from all political messaging. Why? Because political messaging makes people furious. And we're trying really hard to have the Bob and Sherry Show be a politics-free island. So please know, if you hear it, you're hearing it at our protest. We don't want it there. We're trying to have it removed. Thank you so much for your patience. Let's get back to the show.
For people over 65, the flu can bring serious complications. Fever can mean the flu. So watch for symptoms with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It's quick and easy to use. Here's Bob and Sherry.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents and my grandparents' friends stayed probably within, and family for the most part, stayed within 50 miles of where they lived. People just did not go that far. You know, they might go from Connecticut to New York State, Hudson Valley, or they might go to Maine, or they might go to New York or New Jersey. But usually most of them stayed within 50 miles of where we grew up. And I find that today that is so not the case. I mean, I've got kids living in Chicago. I've got one living in Georgia. I have friends who live in Connecticut and California and Amsterdam, just like scattered all over the place. We are such a mobile society. So as we go into 2020, what are the states that people are moving to more than any other states? And which states are they leaving? And there's a couple of surprises. I mean, you could say to yourself, well, I bet I know which ones they're leaving. But there's a couple of surprises in here where people
are
saying,
which one are you going to move?
I'm going to start with where people are moving to. And this is according to last year, statistics from last year. The top states with the highest percentage of inbound moves are Oregon, Arizona, South Carolina, Washington State, Washington, D.C., Florida, South Dakota, North Carolina, and New Mexico. All very attractive places. Very, very attractive places.
Because Washington, D.C. was always losing population for a long period of time.
Is that right?
They must have upgraded things there.
Yeah. And here are the states that saw the highest percentage of people leaving. New Jersey, Illinois, New York, Connecticut. Connecticut is a rich state, but it is a highly taxed state. Kansas, Ohio, California, that surprised me. Michigan, North Dakota, and Iowa. So there they are. It's funny how North Dakota would be losing some people and South Dakota gaining, you know?
I wonder if it's just something to do with the oil
business. I don't know if it is or not. There are so many people that are military in North Dakota.
Not only did your great grandparents and your grandparents not move as much, they also didn't move houses as much.
No, they didn't. You're exactly right. You're right.
I mean, think about it. Like when you were a kid, didn't you have friends whose grandparents and parents had lived in the same house?
My grandparents.
From when they got married?
Yeah, my grandparents, that was the situation.
And you've lived in, what did we decide?
23. 23 different.
That's not a lie, by the way, or an exaggeration.
No, and that's including as a child, because, you know, we didn't have much for a while, and we were renting, and then, had a few things happen in my life, and ended up losing a house here or there, and, you know, rented, and I added them all up, and it was 23. I always wanted to be one of those people where people would drive by and say, oh, that's the Lacey's house. You know, even if we, you know, didn't live there anymore, we lived there for so long that that house would be identified with us.
I'm in my seventh house in this city.
Are you?
But a lot of them don't count. When I first moved here, I lived in a tiny, like, one-room apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to a duplex that I rented. Then mm-hmm. I moved to a house. Then I sold that house, moved to another house. Sold that house, moved to another house. Sold that house, rented a house, and then built the house that we're in right
now. Yeah, that's right. Most of your moves were in the last 10 years.
Yeah. But the only reason I even thought about it was my mom said to me, well, Sherry, I just don't know anyone that moves as much as you do. And I said, sure you do. His name is Bob.
Yeah, that's true.
Bob moves as much or more.
I've got one friend who is living in the same house that he was brought up in.
I kind of, you know, there's a part of me that would love that.
Mm-hmm.
It has not worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I didn't stay put in houses for all kinds of reasons. Like, you mm-hmm. move for a lot of reasons. I moved because I had kids. Then I moved because there were no kids in the neighborhood where I lived,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that even if you lived in a neighborhood with kids, none of these kids are coming outside ever except to trick or treat.
Right.
So, you know, like, I didn't understand that it didn't matter if there were kids in the neighborhood or not.
I used to do this thing where I would go home and to North Haven, Connecticut, and I would, if I was alone, I was visiting relatives or friends, and I would just do a little drive because it had been years, and I'd go to, you know, the houses that I used to live in there just to see how they look, right? So then I started taking kids back, and I'd say, would you like to see where Dad lived? And they would go, yeah, that'd be good. So I've got Allie and Landon. They're about, I don't know, 6 and 8, you know. I said, Dad used to live there. Ooh, you. Look, we're going to go to the next one now. This is Shay Shay's house. When we had nothing, we lived with Shay Shay. Oh, you lived there too. Okay, what are we going to do now? We're going to go to the next house now. I got to say, about 6 in... Their heads are spinning. Can we go in any of the houses, Daddy? No, we can't do that. We're just going to drive by them, and Daddy's going to look in there and remember sad things.
And then the whole family sang, "It's a Hard Knock Life for Manny."
Yeah, right. You can do that maybe once, right? Maybe once.
The Off Air Podcast, the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. Download on the free Bob and Sherry app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's a great little story that just absolutely, like, hit me all the feels. I don't know how many people have seen this come across their newsfeed. What with the world being on fire, you may have missed it. A woman named LaTanya Young, who is working as an Uber driver, picked up a passenger named Kevin Esch. And they got to chatting. Not everybody talks to their Uber driver, but Kevin did. So Kevin and LaTanya are talking. And in the course of their conversation, I guess he was asking her, like, is this what you do full time and all? And mm-hmm. She said, well, you know, I'm a college student, but I'm having to take a break because I owe $700 to Georgia State. And until I pay it, I can't register for my next semester's worth of classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of commiserated about how expensive college is. And LaTanya dropped Kevin off. Shortly after that, she got a notification that her bill had been paid, allowing her to register and complete her associate's degree.
Isn't that great?
He got out of the Uber and went online to Georgia State and paid her $700 tuition bill.
And all he needed was her name, I guess.
Well, he had her name, yeah. LaTanya said, quote, literally, I was blown away. A stranger has never done that or anything like that for me. Kevin, the passenger, said, she just resonated with me. We developed an incredible friendship now, and I'm incredibly proud of what she's done. I could have bought new clothes, or I could have helped someone out. And what's come back to me has come back 100-fold. I would do it 1,000 times over. So what happened next? He paid her tuition. She finished out the semester. She graduated in December, and he was in the audience at her graduation.
Oh, no. Isn't that fantastic?
There. And doesn't that make you feel a little tiny bit better about humanity in the world?
I got a little teeny-weeny taste of that. It's never happened to me before. I was on the road alone over the holidays, and I'm driving home, and I got behind a big red Ford pickup truck at a toll. And so I pulled up behind it, and this was a lesson to me. To calm the heck down. So I'm behind the pickup truck, and it's taken a little bit of time. It's not like I saw the hand go out, and then there was some talking. And I'm saying to myself, come on, man. What do you know where you're going? Go ahead. Use your iPhone. Let's go. And then finally, the guy drives off, and I pull up and got the buck and a quarter. And she said, he paid for your toll.
And then you felt like a
awful
big tool.
Yeah.
I like do. A big old
okay,
giant.
All right. You don't,
shiny.
Not giant.
Tool.
Just not a giant tool. One of those small tools that.
A pocket tool?
Like a pocket tool.
You're a bigger man than that. You are no man's pocket tool.
Master craftsman tool?
I'm not saying he's a Snap-on, please, but he is no man's
pocket.
Please don't
use,
tool.
Don't repeat any of these as a drop out of the blue.
What?
Yeah,
is,
he paid. I've never had anybody pay it forward. It was so nice.
What is more fun than going to Starbucks and paying for the car behind you and driving off and just wondering, like,
yeah.
Oh, I hope they're so excited when they realize they don't have to pay.
Yeah, and you do have to drive off. You can't just pull up and go. What do you think of me? You know, you have to drive away.
That would make you, let's all say it together, a giant
big tool. Yeah.
And what you want to be at best is a pocket tool. But you didn't know, and now you know. And you know what? Did it change you? Are you going to be different and better now?
You know, there's a shot.
That's all we can
that's
hope
a,
for.
That's a, that, there's a shot that
there's
I will
a chance
be. Yeah, that's
that you'll
right.
be a little more patient.
Right, that's right. Very nice person to do that. So he's out there, or she's out there. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, actually. I thank you very much for doing that.
That was very sweet. Yeah. And now you can go pay it forward for somebody today.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Now, of course, when Bob pays it forward, someone follows him down the road, pulls him over and says, what do you think, I don't got money? And beats him up.
Get Lamar's review sent right to your phone. Text MOVIE to 888-BOB-SHARE.
Bob, do you remember earlier this week when you said, I don't know why, but Wheel of Fortune's been coming up on the show a bunch.
I do remember that, yeah.
And I think we were talking about Vanna's dresses.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Well, we were also recently talking about the fact that we were surprised she had a private plane.
Yeah, like, you're right. There's been a weird...
I know.
So...
And I don't watch the show.
So you said that, and I was like, yeah, that's a good point. It has come up a bunch. I don't watch Wheel of Fortune. Nobody... I don't know anybody that watches Wheel of Fortune. It's just there. So I have that Today in History app. First thing today, I wake up, take shower, look at my phone. On this day in, I think it was 1975, Wheel of Fortune premiered.
Oh, wow.
But this day is also infamous. Do you know what else happened on this day?
No.
An infamous...
By the way, Pat Sajak was not the host then.
Who was?
Chuck Woolery.
Oh, I guess that was before he had that restless leg problem keeping
yes,
him up at night.
I know. He does ads for these pills. He always keeps it right by his bed.
Australian blue or some nonsense like that. Anywho, today is an infamous day in history, you guys. And it's never going to be forgotten because it's been memorialized in movies and blah, blah, blah. Today is the day that that ice skating champion Nancy Kerrigan was attacked.
Oh, is that right?
By her rival Tanya Harding's husband, Jeff Galooly. Yeah. Wasn't that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And his band of thugs.
His name is Jeff Stone now.
He changed his name, yeah.
Did you see the movie they did, I, Tanya?
Oh, I love that movie. Are you kidding?
I thought it was one of the best movies I've seen in the last 5 years.
Margot Robbie has become, she played Tanya, and she was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She's Harley Quinn in those movies. She's in the new movie Bombshell. She's become like one of my all-time favorite actresses.
She was terrific.
I love her.
And what's her name who played her mother?
Janney.
Oh, she is such a good actress.
If you've never watched I, Tanya, go ahead and get it on demand. It is so worth like the $4.99 to rent it.
I think it's on Netflix now.
Yeah, it might even be on Netflix.
You might want to check it out.
It's so good.
There's a scene. I just read about this the other day because of what you're talking about. Do you remember the scene where Janney, as Tanya's mother, is sitting in a booth in like a coffee shop, and Tanya comes in with her first boyfriend, and she's a teenager, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Her mother is rough stuff, and her mother's smoking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee, and so Tanya sits down with a new boyfriend, and they've been dating. They're probably about 15, I guess, as my memory serves me. So the movie is giving you an idea of how she came up. Maybe she's 16. So they're talking. The two of them are talking. I can't say what Tanya's mother says, but there's a pause, and she says, "So are you two?" And you can imagine what the question was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was ad-libbed.
She's...
Janney just threw that in there to see if it would work, and the director said, "We're going to stay with that." And it's rough.
Allison Janney as Tanya Harding's mother.
It's one of the best performances I've seen by an actress in a long time.
Makes you root for Tanya even more than you could have ever rooted for her.
Because you say to yourself, you know, if I was raised by that thing, because the mother was just horrendous, you know, I might have gone down a dark alley here and there.
But you know what the thing was? It depends on whether or not. It depends on what you believe. Like, Tanya Harding did admit that she learned of Jeff Galooly's role in the attack on Nancy Kerrigan after it happened, but she didn't inform authorities. She said she didn't know he was planning it or was going to do it, and then he did it.
We'll never know.
And then she found out afterward that he had been involved.
We'll never really know. What's your gut feeling? Yes or no? Did she know that was going to go down? My gut feeling is she kind of knew and she looked the other way.
Okay, here's my gut feeling. My gut feeling is she heard some big talk and didn't take it as seriously as...
Yeah, which is close to what I just said.
Maybe it could have. Yeah.
Didn't shut it down.
I rooted for her. She was such an underdog.
I know. Making her own costumes. Didn't have the Nancy Kerrigan hair.
Championship figure skating at any level, much less the Olympic level, is a sport of such wealth and privilege.
Right.
And here she is. She didn't look like an ice princess. She didn't have the costumes. She didn't have any of that. What she had was talent and determination.
And strength.
And so... Yeah, you know, I'm rooting for her. She's mm-hmm. the classic underdog, totally mm-hmm. rooting for her. So I guess what I want to believe is that, because Galluli was a punk.
Right.
And all of his friends.
He was riding on her fame.
But he made himself into like the big man, right?
Right.
And,
right.
you know, if
and
you've
that
ever...
happens to a lot of women in show business. This is not really show business. She's an athlete. But women who are very, very famous, they'll all of a sudden get a husband/manager who's...
Like this, right?
He wants to be the one that says, without me, you're nothing, which is not the case.
So, you know, is it possible he said, I know people. I could take her out of competition. And right. Tanya's like, yeah, whatever.
And then Tanya would owe him forever. Yeah.
And then he does it.
Yeah.
So I'm still on the... coming down on the side that Tanya got a bad deal. And no one will ever believe all of it.
No, but I think there was something floating in the air. She probably knew that this guy might do something. The only choice you would really have is to shut it down. And she didn't. I mean, I don't know.
God, if I called the police every time some dumbass boyfriend I had in the past said something stupid, the police would have arrested me for misusing 911.
Yeah.
I'm not defending her. I'm just saying I don't think we're ever going to know.
That's what I said at the top of this. I don't think we will.
And the public in history never gave her a fair shake.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
It's Bob and Sherry.
A shareable taste of the show. The Fun Size Podcast drops every Thursday on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is Bob and Sherry, and you find the most bizarre things on the internet. I came across a post, and here it is. 15 anti-Matt tweets for anyone who's ever crossed paths with a guy named Matt.
What?
15 anti-Matt tweets for anybody who's ever crossed paths with a guy named Matt. I have to say, with
we've
full
worked
disclosure,
with several.
We have four. We have four in the radio stations right now.
Wait, we have, I can think of.
There's four.
There's four Matts.
There's
yeah.
four Matts. That's right. They seem like nice guys, but these women who are posting hate Matts.
All right, let's hear it.
You want me to read them? All right, here we go. In 2020, we are not talking to any guy named Matt. My friend, so the new person you're dating is another white guy named Matt whose parents pay his rent? Me. Yeah, but like there's something different about this one. My friend, there is in fact not anything different about this one. Wow. Boys will definitely ruin your life. 1. Any boy named Kyle. 2. All Matts. 3. Chads. 4. Any variation of Zachary. And 5. Any guy whose name starts with J. Woo! That person has had it rough. Dating apps I've noticed. Matt, 30, financial analyst, enjoys craft beer and hiking. Matt, 33, holding a dead fish, saying, let's eat pizza and watch The Office. Matt, 28, if you don't work out, we won't work out. Go Birds, 6-1, because apparently that matters. Here's another one. Have you or a family member ever dated a guy named Matt? You may be entitled to compensation. My decade in dating, 2010, serial killer, 2011, human dial tone, 2012, human dial tone, 2013, best friend, 2014, best friend, 2015, slut, 2016, slut, 2017, slut, 2018, guy who compared me to a mailbox, and 2019, 15 guys named Matt. Okay, I got to be careful with this one. Fun fact, your body count doesn't increase if you already have previously been with someone with that name. So, for example, my body count this year was 1, even though I was with 17 guys. They were all named Matt.
I have never, I'm sitting here thinking, I've never dated a Matt.
You've never dated a Matt?
I've never dated a Matt or a Kyle. But every woman that has dated a Kyle has had her heart broken.
Is
Kyle.
That right? That other woman was talking about that. Here's another woman. I have slept with enough guys named Matt to populate a small town in Ohio.
Wow.
I know. I know. And it goes on and on. There's like 50 There's too many guys named Matt at this Whole Foods. So what do you think? Is this a thing? I've never heard of this before. And I mean, there are, every one of these posts is getting retweeted like hundreds of times.
You know, because I've missed dating a Matt. I've only worked with Matts. And I have worked with, now that we're having this conversation, so many Matts.
Have you?
Yeah.
So you're looking
radio,
back on it?
In radio, in restaurants, TV.
But you've never dated one. That's what these women are talking
never
about.
Never dated a Matt.
Hmm. Well, too late now.
And I don't want to say that I was anti-dating a Matt, because I don't want to hurt the feelings of any of the Matts that I know.
But you would be anti-Kyle if you were out there.
Kyle is very, very appealing, but I've learned from other women, Kyle is a dangerous concept.
Is that right? Yeah. Anything could happen with Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an exciting name.
It's an exciting relationship until he breaks your heart. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.